From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Orpheum Theater in Memphis, Tennessee, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, as they say down here. We're so glad to be here. It's a great show for you today. We have Carla Thomas, the Queen of Memphis Soul, joining us later. But we are also so proud to be here in Memphis, Tennessee, which according to a study that came out just this week, women in Memphis, and only the women, drink more than in any other city in America. This is true. And according to another survey of Memphis women that came out this week, you're super hot. And what's your name? So we know y'all are ready to really enjoy our show. For the rest of you out there in sober America, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Charles Dietline from Bethesda, Maryland.
Bethesda, Maryland.
Yes.
You people are so drunk already. That was all the drunk one of men was going, Bethesda, yeah, Bethesda. How are things in Bethesda?
They're not bad at all.
I'm glad to hear it.
That's probably the slogan, I believe, of Bethesda.
Bethesda, not bad at all.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Charles.
You're going to get letters.
Yeah, well. Let me introduce you to our panel this week, Charles. First up, it's humorist and author, most recently of Alpha Better Juice, The Joy of Text. It's Roy Blunt Jr. right here.
Oh. Hi.
Next, it's one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Roxanne Roberts.
Hello.
Hi, Roxanne.
And finally, a humorist, author, and blogger at CarTalk.com. It is Tom Beaudet.
Hello, Charles.
Charles, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle, of course, is going to recreate for you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right. Here is your first quote.
It's a big gay middle finger to Vladimir Putin.
That was White House correspondent Sam Stein talking about a delegation President Obama is sending to what big event in February?
The Olympics.
Yes, the Olympics. So Vladimir Putin, czar of all the Russias, recently came out against gay people. And with Russia hosting the Winter Olympics, which has such very gay events as figure skating and neighborhood gentrifying, this is proving a bit awkward. So how is the U.S. retaliating? We are launching an intercontinental gay missile. This week, President Obama named his delegation to the Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia, and it is as gay as the ski jump is high. You've got Billie Jean King, you've got Brian Boitano, who just came out as gay this week. Quelle surprise. And to top it all off, instead of attending the games himself, the president is sending drag queen versions of his senior administration officials. Mr. Putin, I'd like you to meet Barack Obama and Ho Biden. And this is such a great way to have a global conflict, right? We used to fight each other by stockpiling nuclear weapons. So now we're sending over gay athletes. Putin will retaliate by sending back cast members of Duck Dynasty. Meanwhile, Iran claims that all their gays are for peaceful purposes.
Claim that they didn't have any homosexuals?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. But now, of course, you know.
Well, they said they'd stop production, but nobody believed it.
All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
The jade rabbit has landed in the Bay of Rainbows.
So that sentence could one day join "the eagle has landed" in the history of exploration, now that China has successfully made a landing where?
On the moon.
On the moon, yes! This week, the Chinese Space Agency landed a robotic probe on the moon called U2, named for their favorite band back when they were in college. Actually, no, U2 in Chinese means jade rabbit. That is a figure from Chinese folklore, as well as the most popular stripper at Beijing's Little Red Lounge.
What was that headline again?
It was "The Jade Rabbit Has Landed in the Bay of Rainbows," because it is actually, the jade rabbit is the name of the
probe. That's a headline. You know what the headline of the Brattleboro Reformer was in Vermont on Monday?
What?
It was "Car Crashes in the Hogback Gift Shop." I cut it out, because when you see a headline like that, you just ask, what's on page two? You know? But I like, jade rabbit lands in the...
Yeah, it actually landed in the moon on a structure, you know, known as the Bay of Rainbows. So there you are. The probe is supposed to be on the moon exploring the Bay of Rainbows for 3 months, which will give it enough time to start 2 electronics factories, which, despite being 230,000 miles away on an airless rock, will still be a cheaper place for Apple to build their iPhones. All right, very good. Here is your last quote.
Enough is enough. Stop wasting money.
That was the title of a medical journal article saying that what, in the end, doesn't make you any healthier?
Multivitamins.
Multivitamins, yes. That's exactly right. All those multivitamins, the $30 billion worth that Americans swallow every year, all totally useless. You might as well have eaten the money you spent on them. At least then you could have gained the powers of all those dead presidents. Courage of Washington, chins of Franklin.
This is such great news. It freed up an entire cupboard in my kitchen.
Really?
Yes.
Did you?
I can't wait to get home.
Yeah. The only ones I'm going to miss are the Flintstones.
Yeah. This is a terrible thing for the
because
Flintstones.
Because they were cute.
Yeah. Right?
So is it only the multivitamins, or is it like multivitamins?
Well, basically, yeah. I mean, for example, to take an example, a lot of people swear by these vitamin C supplements, 500 milligrams of vitamin C every day. But the thing is, your body can only process so much vitamin C or any of these things. The rest, it just, well, basically, you just pee it out. So you're just taking all these vitamins and just putting them down the toilet. That, by the way, though, is why your toilet never has a cold. Which is good, because you don't want it to sneeze. Carl, how did Charles do in our quiz?
Charles, you're a winner. 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine or voicemail.
Well done, Charles. Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Roy Blunt Jr., Tom Baudette, and Roxanne Roberts. And here again is your host at the Orpheum Theater in Memphis, Tennessee, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Kenny Sachs from Montpelier, Vermont.
Hey, how are things in Montpelier?
It's winter.
Yeah. That's all you need say, huh?
It's here. It's been here since fall.
Right. And how long will it be there, Kenny?
Until summer.
Yeah. Kenny, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Kenny's topic?
Hands off me nuts.
That's right. Carl just said, hands off me nuts. Each of our panelists is going to read you a news story from the week containing that same phrase. Guess the real one. You'll win Nutty Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Ready to play?
Yeah.
All right. First, let's hear from Tom Baudette.
St. Christina's Retreat in Western New York State has been administering to the mentally ill for over 80 years. Their highly professional doctors and nurses treat their troubled patients with respect and kindness. So it is awkward for them to find themselves being sued by the families of their inpatients for demeaning and abusive behavior toward their residents. It all began when an orderly's clipboard was found with derogatory marks on the patient charts. One man with a severe fear of urine was referred to as Peanut. Another, who thought the staff was bewitching her, was Hexnut. A claustrophobic patient was Walnut. When confronted with the evidence, Chief Psychiatrist Dr. Courtney Hochstetler explained, "Our trained medical staff knows not to serve vegetables to a laconophobic in the cafeteria, but quite often our less educated kitchen and orderly staff need a simpler term they can remember. Someone with a fear of vegetables is a corn nut." You might not know it's dangerous to embrace a person with aphanphosmphobia, but you will think twice about hugging any hands-off-me-nuts.
A mental hospital being sued for using that phrase to describe some of the patients. Your next story involving hands-off-me-nuts comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Another embarrassing revelation from Britain's phone hacking scandal, the Queen's Nut Caper. In a London courtroom last week, jurors were shown an email sent by News of the World former royal editor Clive Goodman to senior editor Andy Coulson. Goodman wrote that Queen Elizabeth was, quote, furious after she discovered her protection detail helped themselves to nut rolls sitting around Buckingham Palace, to the point that palace officials sent a memo warning officers to, quote, keep their sticky fingers out. Goodman wrote that the Queen has a very savory tooth and was ticked off about police stealing the nuts and nibbles left out for her, so much so that she began marking the bowls to check if the levels were dropping. Quote, these are unproven allegations, the judge told the laughing jurors, which didn't stop the Daily Mail from screaming, hands off me nuts, on its front page the next day.
Hands off me nuts, or so says supposedly the Queen of England. Your last story involving some use of the now classic phrase, hands off me nuts, comes from Roy Blunt Jr.
The movie Saving Mr. Banks, which is about the making of the movie Mary Poppins, has understandably stirred renewed interest in that old Disney classic. But this week, an unexpected treat emerged. If you've seen the new movie, you know that the Sherman brothers, Richard and Robert, who wrote the songs for Mary Poppins, got frustrated trying to win over the super severe P.L. Travers, who wrote the book in which Mary was created and who retained right of approval over everything in the movie. So, did the brothers work off their frustration in a hitherto unknown song for Dick Van Dyke as Bert the Chimney Sweep, who is sweet on Mary? Had Bert been shopping at the Covent Garden Market? Had he somehow found out that Mary had a soft spot for a certain crunchy snack food? All we know for sure is that Entertainment Tonight this week posted online an image of a wrinkled piece of circa 1960 Disney stationery with the scrawled heading, Bert's Pistachio Song, followed by these lines. You can bite me, sweet strawberry, me tea cakes, take your cuts, but I'll be saving these for Mary. Hands off me nuts.
Let us review. From Tom Baudette, hands off me nuts. Something that the orderlies at a mental institution calling certain patients with a certain phobia. From Roxanne Roberts, hands off me nuts, the way the tabloids describe the Queen's attitude toward her salty snack bowls around the palace. Or from Roy Blunt Jr., hands off me nuts, a lyric in a lost, undeservedly, song for Mary Poppins. Which of these is the real origin of that colorful phrase?
Wow. I'm going to go with the Mary Poppins story.
You're going to go with Roy's story.
Yeah.
Of a heretofore unknown song by the Sherman Brothers.
Yes.
Written for Mary Poppins. Lost to history. Yeah. All right. Well, to bring you the correct answer, please listen to this very serious News report.
The nuts were intended for the queen. The palace issued a memo to control officers to keep their sticky fingers out of the queen's nuts.
That was Caitlin Becker from HuffPo Live talking about the revelation of the Queen of England's anger about people taking her nuts. Roxanne had the real story, but you didn't win, but you did earn a point for Roy. So thank you so much for playing.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry.
Bye-bye, Kenny, and thanks for playing.
Thank you. She said, don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
And now the game where we show royalty what it is like for the common folk. The game is called Not My Job. Memphis is legendary for its music, and Carla Thomas is a legend in Memphis. She scored her first hit single for Stax Records at the age of 18, had many more, including duets with Otis Redding and other stars. It's exciting. She was born in Memphis. She lives in Memphis, and she is known on Beale Street as the Queen of Memphis Soul. Carla Thomas, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Don.
So, first, Your Majesty, you are known as the Queen of Memphis Soul. What rights and responsibilities come with that title?
Oh, you would be surprised.
I can imagine.
First of all, nobody touches her nuts.
That's right.
You carry it well. You look good in the crown.
Thank you.
In the big gown. That's exciting. I mean, you sit around and, like, issue proclamations about who has soul and who doesn't.
That's right. Like, what is soul?
Well, that was my next question.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to figure out, you know, there's R&B, there's rock and roll, and there's soul.
Yeah.
What is soul music?
Well, soul is this expressive thing, you know. It comes from the spirit.
Yes.
And you can't sing soul music unless you have a spiritual feeling for
right.
the music you're doing.
Right, so it's sort of like gospel music, but instead of Jesus, you're singing about sex. That's just my theory.
Or, hey, the lack of it
or
whatever.
The lack of it. Whichever.
Whichever.
They're both inspirational.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wow. So if you were to say to somebody, like, if you want to know soul music, here's the first song you should listen to. Where would you start? Like, one of your songs?
I would say James Brown.
Yeah. He had soul. He had too much soul.
He had
ultimately.
A lot of soul.
He had a lot of soul. So you actually, getting back to the royalty theme, you actually were the daughter of Memphis royalty. Your father, Rufus Thomas, he was a performer, he was a DJ. What was he?
Well, he started out in vaudeville.
Really?
And he started at an early age doing vaudeville with the Rabbit Foot Minstrels.
Okay. Now, you were young. You were a very young woman when you got started. You were
very
playing
young.
With your father, right?
Yeah, and I didn't know, you know, what was going to happen behind that. I mean, show business was fun, but wow.
Well, all right. I think I speak for everybody here when I say, explain the wow.
The wow is the glitter and the glamour.
Really?
And which I was not really into that yet. I just loved being where my dad was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I just would
you
like...
You wanted to play music to be with your dad.
Yeah, I just want to be there. I loved watching him dance and sing. And even on the radio, I would miss not one show.
Wow. And was it fun performing and with your dad?
Yeah, I loved it. I always felt I was better when we were on the show together.
Sure. And you had your first hit for, well, what was then Satellite Records,
Satellite, Stax.
When you were 18.
Yeah.
So you're an 18-year-old girl with a number one hit record.
Right.
What was that like? It was like Hannah Montana, except it was good.
Oh, I like Hannah.
Oh, yeah, you like Hannah
Montana? I like her daddy, too.
Yeah, okay. All right, sorry.
The wow was... fabulous.
Now, things must have gotten a little crazy during the 60s.
Very
when you were singing.
Crazy.
You were singing with, like, Otis Redding, and you were singing with all these guys, and
yeah.
It must have gotten a little nuts.
It was wonderful.
Ah! You enjoyed yourself.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Any particular stories? Like, what was it like singing with Otis Redding?
Oh, great. Otis, one of the major things I would like to say about Otis Redding was when he first came and decided to sign with Stax, He sounded so much like Little Richard.
Really?
Yeah, he just chose all his sons because they were like up.
Yeah.
And he started singing like that. And the more he stayed here, his style became more like the bluesy things that you start hearing later, like Dock of the Bay and that kind of song.
Right. Hard to imagine Little Richard sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Yeah. With all the ruffles, right?
He'd just bounce around until he went into the water. I was looking at the cover for your first single, Gee Whiz, and your hair is amazing.
Oh, well, thank you.
If I'm not mistaken, there's one picture I saw, your hair is like at least 4 feet above your scalp. It's amazing.
I know that big afro.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Right now you're beautiful. You have these dreadlocks. Did you have a favorite hairstyle?
I love those big afros.
Really?
Back in that time.
You mean like the big like Black Power afros in the 70s?
I love that.
Like Angela Davis, what I'm thinking of.
You
know, just this enormous halo of hair.
But what started happening is, as I got older, see, I used to never perspire.
Oh, of course not. I believe the expression goes, you glowed.
I glowed, you know. And I couldn't wear all that hair anymore.
Really?
I'd be singing and I'd be going...
Just clawing it off your face.
The eyelash would be hanging. So, you know.
Did your father give you any advice about fame or music? Or
anything? Stay out the juke joints.
Stay out of the juke joints. Stay out of the juke joint. Wait for me out here. I'll be there.
Yeah, but he can go in.
I'm going in there. I'm going to go in there to see how dangerous and immoral it is. You wait here in the car.
I'll be right back. That's it.
Well, Carla Thomas, we've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Thomas, meet Thomas.
You may be only Thomas to be named Queen of Soul, but you're not the only Thomas in the world. We're going to ask you 3 questions about Thomas's not named Carla. And if you get 2 right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Carla Thomas playing for?
Carla is playing for Gary Hahn of Memphis, Tennessee.
All right. All right, you ready to play?
I think so.
All right, you can do this. First question. Thomas the Tank Engine, anybody? Hugely popular children's show. Takes place on the fictional island of Sodor, where living talking trains keep everything moving along cheerfully and efficiently. It's quite lovely. But according to at least one scholar, the island of Sodor is really what? A hallucination experienced by a train conductor who's gone mad. B, an elaborate retelling of the Gospels with Thomas as Jesus. Or C, a horrible totalitarian dystopia.
Is there a place for none of the above?
No, there really isn't. One of those things was suggested. An elaborate argument.
Okay. I have to choose one of those?
You absolutely do. You should. These people cannot leave and go to the bathroom until you do. So.
We'll help.
I'll take the first one.
You're going to go for the first one, a hallucination experienced by a train conductor who has gone mad. They like that, but actually no, the answer is C, a horrible totalitarian dystopia. Shauna Wilton is the scholar's name. She points out that on Sodor, everybody is judged by how much they work. There is a strict hierarchy, never broken, and people are defined by their jobs for their entire lives. Because what do they say about Mussolini, right? Fascist dictator made the trains run on time.
Mm-hmm. You're okay. Causing Thomas and confusion and delay.
Yeah. I know. We cannot have that. All right. So now, that was Thomas the Tank Engine. You still have 2 more Thomases. Your next is Marlo Thomas.
Oh.
Well-beloved here in Memphis. Her father, Danny Thomas, of course, founded the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Great hero here. Street named after him. But she, Marlo, was the star of the 60s sitcom That Girl. In that show, Marlo Thomas plays an aspiring actress trying to make it in New York City. One problem, if she lived at the address given as her address on the show, she'd be living where? A, at the bottom of the East River. B, hovering about 650 feet above the Central Park Reservoir. Or C, in West Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, boy,
that is hard.
A.
You're going to go for A, at the bottom of the East River? You're right. She gave her address on the show as living in the 600 block of East 54th Street, which is exactly one block off the island of Manhattan in the river. location shooting at her apartment. Very expensive. All right, this is good.
Thank you.
You have one correct with one to go. If you get this, you win. Famously reclusive author Thomas Pynchon has gone to great lengths to keep himself out of the public eye. He has, however, made several appearances where? A, on infomercials for the Slap Chop kitchen device, where the reclusive author acts delighted while chopping his own carrots. B, on the TV show The Simpsons, where he is always presented when he appears with paper bag over his head. Or C, on an episode of Law & Order SVU, where he played Ice-T's brother, Ice-P.
Well, let's see. B.
You're going to go for B in The Simpsons? Yeah. You're right! He appears in The Simpsons from time to time. He always is shown with a paper bag on his head. Sadly for Mr. Pynchon, though, who likes to remain anonymous, he really does wear a paper bag over his head. So whenever he goes out now, people recognize him. Carl, how did Carla Thomas do on our show?
Carla, you had two correct answers, so you win for Gary Hahn.
Carla Thomas, known as the Queen of Mentosol. Thank you so much for being with us. Carla Thomas, ladies and gentlemen.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Roxanne Roberts, Roy Blunt Jr., and Tom Baudette. And here again is your host at the Orpheum Theater in Memphis, Tennessee, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Things are rocking along, and in just a minute, Carl admits we can't go on together with suspicious rhymes. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, Steve Stockman is a Texas congressman who's announced he's running for Senate. Well, his campaign did not get off to a great start. What happened?
I kind of read this, and then I kind of skipped over it, so I kind of didn't read it. Can I have a hint?
It's like when they find cockroaches at your local Taco Bell. More cockroaches than usual, I should say.
Mm.
His campaign headquarters were infested.
And what happened?
And
haven't you ever been to a restaurant where they found some health violation? What does the sign say in the front of the restaurant?
Right.
Oh, they closed it.
They shut it down. It was condemned as a health hazard. Filthy bathrooms, holes in the walls, exposed wires. Congressman Stockman's campaign headquarters was equal parts animal house and crack house. Stockman defended himself, saying, sure, there were all these violations, but he had outfitted the headquarters with multivitamins and antibacterial soap. So.
I wonder why cockroaches do go into politics. Well, often seems the case.
It's true. Actually, when investigators broke into Stockman's headquarters, they found that his entire campaign staff, all 40 of them, were feral cats.
Mm.
In response to these accusations, his spokescat barfed and then licked it back up.
You know? Mm.
Tom, you're familiar with EasyPass or iPass that lets you pay your highway tolls without stopping.
Love it.
Well, the technology is finally being used where it makes sense. Where?
Pay bathrooms. It would work. I mean, you think of it, it would work. I don't know where you'd mount it, but it would work. Where it really matters.
Well, they're trying to make something that's convenient even more convenient.
Something that's going to be even more convenient. Okay, we're back to the bathrooms, but. Do you have another hint?
Well, pull ahead to the second window.
Banking?
No.
Fast food.
Yes, fast food drive-thrus.
Oh, what a great idea. I mean, if you're into that kind of thing.
2013, the year when we decided that being fed without having to exit your car was no longer convenient enough.
Mm-hmm.
Five Wendy's locations in New York are pioneering this technology. It allows you to pay for your food exactly in the same way you'll eat it, without stopping and with no thought of the consequences. It's good. It's not quite the American dream. It still requires you to use your hands to eat. Mm. What we really want is to just pull up at a Wendy's or wherever and have a giant bird regurgitate in our mouths. That would be...
No. If there was a dispenser in my minivan where you could just fill it up with coffee and then suck it out of one of those Camelback spouts.
There must be a way that you could just get fat without eating. You
know? That would be the final thing.
All right.
Roy, the recent discovery of 5,300-year-old fossils in China reveal that humans had what even earlier than we thought?
You mean earlier in the morning?
This is something we have today, but we didn't think that we did this until much later in our history as a species. Turns out that 5,300 years ago, at least, we were doing this thing.
Meatballs. I don't know.
They just found some noodles and extrapolated.
Yeah.
They also found a 5,300-year-old litter box.
Oh, pets.
Specifically,
cats.
Yes.
Oh.
Pet cats. It has long been thought that domesticated cats originated in the Middle East and didn't spread to other places until about 1,000 years later. But these remains have humans and cats living together for millennia all over the world. The cat fossils were found near shards of broken pottery, leading scientists to believe the cats had died shortly after knocking them off a counter for no reason. But the question is, how do you know that it was a domesticated cat? Well, it was found with the remains of 7 other cats and a woman who lived alone. Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show in Phoenix, Arizona on February 13th. You can also check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Mike and Ian tell you how to make eggnog fit for George Washington. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Hannah Chef, and I'm calling from Carrollton, Texas.
Hey, how are things in Carrollton, Texas?
Too warm. It doesn't feel like winter.
Really? What are you doing down there in Texas?
I'm actually visiting family for the holidays, so I'm enjoying myself.
Oh, where are you usually from?
I live in Huntington, Indiana, which is near Fort Wayne.
So you would leave the winter of Indiana, and you head down to the warmth of Texas, and you're sad about it?
Well, it just doesn't feel right.
You're very young, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay. Hannah, welcome to the show. Carl Castle is going to perform for you 3 news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing, of course. Your job, fill in that last word or phrase. Do that 2 times, you'll be a winner. Here is your first limerick.
On screen, Downton Abbey looks posh, but in a bad smell, we all slosh. Though the cast includes servants, this fact is unnerving. The costumes do not get a...
wash.
Exactly right. It turns out that Downton Abbey smells like Downtown Abbey. According to cast members in a recent interview, the costumes that they wear are so legitimately, you know, early 20th century that you can't wash them. So as it turns out, class divisions are not the only reason the characters are keeping their distance. Stay tuned. Things get even worse next season when Lady Edith invents hot yoga.
I think personally that Downton Abbey began to smell last season. Just my
All right. Here is your next limerick.
For our gather and hunt avocation, we cavemen need good information. Since I found a broker who's not mediocre, my cave has a primo
location?
Yes, indeed. As Og, the caveman, once said, the 3 most important things in real estate are location, location, and... British archaeologists have discovered that just like modern condo man, ancient caveman used to go house hunting. Some amenities were particularly appealing to cavemen. Wall-to-wall dirt, granite everything tops, and fireplaces, which in those days was just the place that really hurt when you sat on it. I love the idea of a caveman realtor. Like, they have that fur toga, except it's yellow. And they'd be constantly lying about the quality of the cave to get people to buy it. Well, this cave has a beautiful southern exposure. That's where the hole is.
That drips only when it rains.
Yeah. Here's your last limerick.
My adventures were quite hyperbolic. Six martinis and I would still frolic. Now I must make amends to Goldfinger and friends. Hi, I'm James, and I am...
an alcoholic.
Yes, indeed, alcoholic. Scientists at Nottingham University in England took time out from trying to capture Robin Hood, and they decided to determine how many drinks a day James Bond consumed. So it turns out that in Ian Fleming's original novels about the spy, 007 drank an average of 45 martinis a week, an amount that would have, unfortunately for Pussy Galore, rendered the suave spy completely impotent.
But you're not going to get Bond into a 12-step program.
Absolutely not.
I mean, he's going to get to that admit you're powerless step, and he's just going to walk, you know? It's like, there's no way. Bond wouldn't do it.
How many drinks a week? 45?
45.
Yeah.
There was one incident, apparently. They found one thing.
Are you doing some math there, Roy?
I was doing the math.
Roy is sitting there going, wait a minute, I could have been a spy.
If that's all it takes.
Jeez.
Yeah.
If you space him out, let's say he takes Sunday off, right?
Right.
Okay.
Carl, how did Hannah do in our quiz?
Hannah, you were perfect. Three correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or home.
Well done, Hannah. Thank you so much for playing. You did well. Bye-bye, Hannah.
Bye.
Goldfinger. He's the man with the mind.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl Castle, can you please give us their scores?
We have a tie for first place. Roy Blunt Jr. and Roxanne Roberts both have 3 points. Tom Baudet has 2.
All right, Tom, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. A January government shutdown was averted this week after Congress agreed to a new blank.
Budget deal.
Right. In a surprise announcement, blank said he will release an imprisoned oil tycoon, Greenpeace protesters, and the band Pussy Riot.
Vladimir Putin.
Yes.
He must got a new girlfriend.
Best known for his role in Lawrence of Arabia, blank died at age 81.
Peter O'Toole.
Yes, indeed. On Monday, Google confirmed that it had bought Boston Dynamics, a company that builds large military blanks.
Robots.
Right. A Miami man failed in his attempt to pay for beer at a convenience store with a blank.
His toll electronic pass.
No, he tried to pay for the beer with a live 4-foot alligator. After the surprise release of her 5th solo album, blank broke iTunes sales records.
Beyonce.
Right. In order to get out of his final exam, a student at Harvard University allegedly blanked.
Phoned in a bomb scare.
Yes, indeed. A man in Japan broke into 32 houses and stole over $200,000. Because he needed to pay for blank.
The guy in Florida who couldn't buy his beer with an alligator.
No, he needed the money to pay for gourmet food for his 128 cats. Sure, on the surface, this looks like your basic crazy cat person. But when you're home alone, surrounded by 128 hungry cats, you do what they say. Carl, how did Tom do in our quiz?
Tom had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Tom has taken the lead.
All right. We have flipped a coin, and Roxanne has elected to go last. So, Roy, you are up next. Fill in the blank. On Monday, a federal judge said that the daily gathering of phone records by the blank is likely unconstitutional.
The NSA.
Right. In an announcement on Wednesday, blank said that the Federal Reserve will be tapering its stimulus program.
Bernanke.
Yes. A woman in Georgia and someone in California were the two winners of this week's $648 million blank.
Well, lottery.
Yeah.
Mega millions.
India demanded an apology from the U.S. after the arrest of one of its blanks this week.
One of its, what do you call them? Somebody worked at the UN. Diplomat.
Yes,
diplomat.
Thank you. A swimming pool in England was evacuated after a blank was mistaken for a peeping Tom.
A four-foot alligator.
No.
That's what I would have said.
A prosthetic leg peeking out of a locker. Best known for her role in Alfred Hitchcock's movie Suspicion, Oscar-winning actress Blank died at age 96.
Joan Fontaine.
Yes, indeed. Because of his controversial remarks in GQ magazine, Phil Robertson, one of the stars of Blank, has been suspended from the show.
Duck Dynasty.
Right, it's just logical. Australian woman had to be rescued from the Pacific Ocean when she blanked.
Began to go glub, glub, glub.
No, she had to be rescued after she walked off the end of a pier while browsing Facebook on her phone. The woman was strolling along St. Kilda's Pier in Australia, updating her Facebook status, which was walking perilously close to the edge of a pier and not paying attention. She then walked straight off the edge into the ocean. She was rescued unharmed, and she didn't even need to get a new phone because when they pulled her out, this is true, she was still clutching her wet phone in her hand. Carl, how did Roy do in our quiz?
Roy had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 15 points, and Roy has taken the lead.
All right. So how many then, Carl? This is your weekly math question. Does Roxanne need to win?
6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
This is for the game Roxanne Phone the Blank. In a massive credit card data breach, hackers gained information this week from about 40 million people who had shopped at blank.
Target.
Right. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said Thursday that she won't make a decision on whether to blank until next year.
Run for president.
Right. Yes. This week, New Mexico joined 16 other states and the District of Columbia when its highest court declared blank to be legal.
Gay marriage.
Right. Although last week he had his uncle executed, this week Kim Jong-un got a visit from basketball player blank.
Dennis Rodman.
Of course, to track the spread of norovirus, health officials in Britain are asking citizens to blank.
Not eat.
No, to tweet the color of their vomit. Harold Camping, the preacher who repeatedly and incorrectly predicted the blank, died this week at age 92.
End of the world.
Right, after killing him off 3 weeks ago, the TV show Family Guy brought blank back to life.
Brian
the dog during its Christmas special. Firefighters training in Washington State failed to extinguish a fire when, instead of water, they tried to put it out with blank.
Gasoline.
Close enough. Jet fuel. Surprisingly, the jet fuel did not extinguish the flames. Instead causing a giant fireball. Everybody's fine. The injured were treated quickly by some EMTs in training who quickly ran up and applied salt to their wounds. Carl, did Roxanne do well enough to win, as I know she loves to do?
She needed 7 to win outright. She had 7 correct answers.
I knew it.
With 17 points, Roxanne Roberts is this week's champion.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists, now that we know multivitamins don't work, to predict the next thing to be revealed as useless. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Kobo, with e-readers and more than 3.5 million e-books and Kobo Kids e-books at independent bookstores, indiebound.org. The Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness on the web at melvilletrust.org. And Pimsleur Language Program, celebrating 50 years and offering portable courses in 50 languages and an app to learn them on, pimsleur.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Background Noise Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our intern is Stephen Thunder Tickles Tobias. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to the crew and everyone backstage at the Orpheum Theater. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover, Miles Dernboss, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our CFO is Ann Nian. Our production coordinator is Robert Showbiz Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Shillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Hollywood Disco Danforth. Now, panel, what is the next thing that will turn out to be worthless? Tom Baudet.
I don't personally believe it, but the wishes you make before you blow out the candles on your birthday cake. Turns out, totally worthless.
I can vouch for that. Roxanne Roberts.
You know how our parents always warned us that Santa only brings presents to nice girls?
Yes.
Just not true.
and Roy Blunt Jr.
A study that happens to have been underwritten by the vitamin industry will reveal that what's really useless is picky, picky science.
And if any of those things turn out to be useless, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Tom Baudette, Roxanne Roberts, and Roy Blunt Jr. Thanks to Charles McLarty and everyone at WKNO. Thanks to our wonderful audience here in Memphis, Tennessee. Thanks to all of you for listening at home. I'm Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR.